This program is intended for mature audiences only.
In this amazing show, discover how you can find out what your man is secretly desiring from a woman. Find out some tips on how to give your man these gifts, and even how to give your man exquisite orgasmic pleasure once he's been seduced.
I don't understand. I'm not getting paid to have sex. Why do women get paid to have sex, and what could they possibly do that would make a man give them money? Really about men who handed you money and wanted you to tell them what to do. And I was blown away because, of course, you know, I really didn't know what to tell them to do. The women were not usually coming to me to learn. They were coming to be pampered. And most of the men seemed absolutely starved for information on how they could be better lovers. And I would just ask them, I said, for instance, could you ever marry a woman like me? Would you ever marry a woman like me? And of course, they would feel very embarrassed and choke on that because they liked me, they might have even loved me, but they knew that they wouldn't marry a woman like me. The biggest thing that I got paid to do as an escort was feel great about my body.
Welcome to the Expanded Lovemaking Show. I'm your host, Dr. Patty Taylor of expandedlovemaking.com, and I teach you how to give and receive way more pleasure than you ever dreamed possible. Today on the show, we are talking about sex secrets from an escort, what men really want. How often have we women wished we could take on the sexiness and outright allure of a female courtesan? She seems to promise a man everything he could seemingly want, all the sex he desires, and just his way with no strings attached. But you might be surprised to find out what men really want behind our preconceived notions. And better yet, learn how we too can give our men these very same experiences. So, telling us more about this is our guest today, Veronica Monet. Welcome, Veronica.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be on your show, Patty. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, Veronica Monet has 14 years of hands-on experience as a courtesan. She's also a certified sex educator specializing in sexuality, anger management, nonviolent communication, and relationship dynamics. She's a frequent major media guest and also the author of Veronica Monet's Sex Secrets of Escorts, Tips from a Pro. She's based in Nevada City, California. She teaches worldwide and has a nationwide clientele, both in person and over the phone. So I'm really happy to have you here with us today. I think men and women would love to get some inside secrets on how they could give and receive some professional loving from the person they care about. So today we will find out what we can do to take our men's pleasures and our relationships to new levels by following Veronica's advice. So let's get started. Veronica, you didn't start out life as a courtesan, did you?
Oh, no. No, not at all. The first time I ever heard about a man paying for sex, I was 17. I was in love for the first time in my life with the guy who took my virginity. Notice all these old paradigms. And he mentioned something about going to a place called the Mustang Ranch, which was a brothel in Nevada. And I was simultaneously jealous, scandalized, and then jealous again. I was curious. And I was like, "What? I don't understand. I'm not getting paid to have sex. Why do women get paid to have sex? And what could they possibly do that would make a man give them money?"
So I was terribly intrigued, but of course, you know, I was raised a good little Christian girl and was, you know, a long way from experimenting with that. But that's where the seed got planted. And then I think I also saw Margot St. James, who was the mother of the sex worker rights movement. I mean, she kind of birthed it in 1976 here in the U.S., and it kind of spread all over the world after that. But I saw her on a talk show. It's probably Phil Donahue or something, which a lot of your listeners probably never even heard of him. But if you're my age, you would know he's like the very first talk show ever, Phil Donahue.
So you went on. You went to college.
Yeah.
You realized the money was better as a courtesan.
No. I went to college, and I went into corporate America. For 7 years. I tried to work my way up the corporate ladder. I got promoted to an office manager, and then I became a marketing representative for a radio station, ironically enough. But I was consistently disillusioned because no matter how many promotions I got, it seems like I just wasn't making enough money to really pay my bills. And then I met a woman. I actually started dating a woman who was a prostitute, and she was married. She had 3 kids. She lived in this beautiful home. She drove a Mercedes, and she was rolling in the dough, and she was healthy. She was happy. She was beautiful. She was not at all the stereotype about a working woman. So this really perked up my interest again.
So that blows our stereotypes about prostitutes to some extent. So just going to the other side, what did you find out about men once you got into the business? What did you find out about what men were like?
Well, the first thing, I just assumed that I've been working in corporate America for 7 years, and I was used to getting a job description, and the boss told me how to fulfill my job, and then I followed orders, and I did the job. So I assumed that now that these men were going to be paying me for sex, it would be something similar. They would tell me what to do, and I would do it, and everybody would be happy, and I'd get paid. And it was not. It was so much not the case. It was really about men who handed you money and wanted you to tell them what to do. And I was blown away because, of course, you know, I really didn't know what to tell them to do. I hadn't taken any classes in sexuality. I was a novice. I had been, you know, kind of promiscuous growing up, but that really didn't constitute knowing anything about sex. So I quickly realized that if I was going to be any good at this job, I was actually going to have to go back to school.
Well, that's a shocker. So they wanted you to tell them what to do. So, my goodness, what did you start telling them what to do?
Well, the first thing I did is I educated myself. I took classes from a woman named Cozy Fabian in sacred prostitution, and I learned that the whole idea of escorting and being a courtesan has a long and rich history and a lot of traditions that go with it. And there was so much to learn. Keep in mind, at this point, I've got a degree in psychology, a minor in business administration. I've been trained in all kinds of customer service and sales. And here I am as a prostitute needing to get an education. So and I took classes in Tantra. I studied under Jwala. A lot of people out there might have heard of her, took something called fire breath orgasm. And this opened up a whole new world for me and really just kind of revamped what is sex even. I mean, you know, where does sex begin and end? I thought that was pretty clear cut and sensible. But when I started studying Tantra, I realized, wow, there's all this energy play. So I started actually working with my clients' energy centers, and I would start off with a massage and work my way into things like balancing their chakras and teaching them how to breathe, and that led into, you know, male multiple orgasm and ejaculatory control and how to sustain an erection, and just it opened up a whole new world. And pretty soon I was teaching classes to my clients. I would actually get out a mirror and a light, a lamp, you know, and I would show them, here is a woman's vulva, and here's all the parts, and here's how they work, and here's how you can find the G-spot, and this is what female ejaculation looks like. And they were fascinated.
Well, I think what you're saying is very powerful because, you know, let's face it, you're absolutely physically stunning and obviously very bright. But what you're saying is that you actually learned skills and that a lot of the time you spent was actually educating your client and sharing what you learned with your clients.
This is one of the things. Now, I'll tell you, talk about what I learned about men. The first thing I learned about men, and keep in mind I'm bisexual, so I was getting a few female clients as well. I always wanted to have more female clients than I got, but it was just really hard to convince women to spend money on anything sexual, at least at that particular time. And you know, because I started in 1989, and I retired in 2004, and during that time, I just found it difficult to get very many female clients. But the few that I got, I really contrasted drastically with my male client base because the women were not usually coming to me to learn. They were coming to be pampered. And most of the men seemed absolutely starved for information on how they could be better lovers. And that really upgraded my opinion about men right there. I was just like, wow, men care so much about pleasing women that they will pay thousands of dollars to learn how to do it right.
That's amazing. Do you think that they asked you questions that they were embarrassed to ask their partners? Was there something going on there, do you think?
Well, there was some of that, but, you know, the sad truth was that a lot of these men were either married or partnered with women who they might have broached topics with and asked them, show me what you want, show me, you know, what makes you feel good, and the women just weren't empowered enough to step up to the plate and actually say, this is what I want and this is what feels good.
And that may be why today a lot of your work is around communication and teaching that as well as the sexual skills and as well as, you do teach the communication.
I think it goes a little bit deeper when we're talking about women. And, I can totally empathize with that because I'm a woman, too, and I grew up in this you know, Western world, which is dominated by some pretty heavy sexual shame, which is directed towards women. And one of the things I would try, you know, educate my clients to is I go, you know, you married a woman that you considered a good girl, somebody you wanted to take home to meet mom. And that, you know, described a vast majority of my married clients had, in fact, married a girl that they felt would be acceptable to their families. And I would just ask them, I said, for instance, could you ever marry a woman like me? Would you ever marry a woman like me? And, of course, they would feel very embarrassed and choke on that because they liked me, might have even loved me, but they knew that they wouldn't marry a woman like me. So that goes to this division we've got between the good girls and the bad girls, and it puts a lot of pressure on the good girls to sublimate their sexuality. Then all of a sudden they get married, and they're supposed to be able to turn their sexuality on like it was a light switch. And that doesn't work for a lot of women. They've spent so much of their identity pushing that down and pushing it away and trying to be kind of asexual that it's not like you just miraculously get married and all of a sudden, you know, become as they say, like a whore in the bedroom. That's a hard thing to ask of a lot of people. And so, unfortunately, these guys would be married to the woman who they wanted, you know, to call the mother of their children, but she wasn't somebody that they feel like they could connect with sexually.
Well, I think that's exactly why we're talking to you, because you've seen it from the side of being a courtesan, and you're also a woman, and you were brought up with that conditioning, and I think that's why we're having you on the show, is that you can teach those skills to women. They are learnable skills, and I think that's why it's so priceless and so amazing to have you on the show. Anyway, we're going to take a short break to support our sponsors. So this is Dr. Patty Taylor, and I'm with Veronica Monet, and we will be right back. You can learn more about Veronica at her website, veronicamonet.com. I'm going to spell that, Veronica, V-E-R-O-N-I-C-A-M-O-N-E-T.com. And also, www.sexwithoutshame.com. And her book is Sex, Secrets of Escorts, Tips from a Pro. So please stay with us.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and we're talking about what men love about going to an escort. Now I want to ask you about some of the secrets that you could actually teach women to give to men, since that would seem to sort of write the balance out, wouldn't it?
Well, I can tell you, the biggest one is perhaps going to be a little bit surprising, because it's not about what you do to men, it's about how you feel about yourself. The biggest thing that I got paid to do as an escort was feel great about my body.
That is, wow, that's quite a, again, another stunner, because I wouldn't have expected that. Do you want to go on with that?
Absolutely. You think it was, most of the men, you know, when I started off doing out calls, that means you go to a client's hotel or his home. The vast majority of my clients were actually single, and it was a late night job. You know, they would be like out trying to meet, pick up a girl or something, and then they would strike out, and then they'd call me as the last resort. But when I started working in calls, which means that they come to your location, and I had a little office in a penthouse suite, and it was really a lot of fun. That's when I started having predominantly male clients who are married. So these married men, almost without exception, were deeply in love with their wives and went on and on about how beautiful and sexy they were and how much they loved to have sex with them. But they had this very consistent complaint, which was, she won't let me go down on her. She won't let us have sex with the lights on. She doesn't seem to want to have sex like she used to. Now, there's a lot of contributing factors to something like that. Of course, this is just the man's side of things. It could have been that he wasn't particularly great in bed, and maybe that's why she didn't want to have sex with him. But it could also have been that, you know, she's working on child number two, and she's exhausted. Some women, after having children, don't feel particularly sexy. Things happen to their bodies that make them feel, you know, less than sexy. But overall, it just seemed like that one of the, you know, consistent complaints was not that my wife isn't beautiful, but that she doesn't think she is. And she, you know, she's got hang-ups about her body, and we can't enjoy sex. So what I realized was, you know, yes, I took good care of my body, and, you know, I was gifted with some good genetics, but it's not like I was exceptionally gorgeous. I got paid tremendous amounts of money. Far more money than some girls that were far more beautiful than I. And the bottom line seemed to be two things. One, I had a tremendous amount of confidence, and I loved my body, still do, and I knew it inside and out, and I was not reticent at all to tell these men how to make me sexually happy.
Well, I think that's a great tip, and I don't think women realize how visual men are. And if women would just, you know, sort of, you know, give it the benefit of the doubt and just, you know, you know, put on, you know, just celebrate their bodies and kind of trust their men when their men kind of want to worship them and kind of go with that and go, okay, I'll believe him when he tells me, rather than give in to their own doubts. That might be a really different way to play the evening. Going on to a few more tips from a pro here. How would a professional possibly, like yourself, what other things might you do, you know, little secrets that you've learned, maybe touch a man or what, some other secrets?
Well, yes, but first, before I talk about the ways that you can touch a man, I just want to encourage your female listeners to get out a mirror, turn the lights on real bright, check out your own genitals, and, you know, if you haven't done that before, you owe it to yourself to do it, because after you get over the initial embarrassment, you're going to see that you are carrying an absolute work of art between your legs. And one of the things that was an absolute crowd pleaser, and I'm sorry, but that's just the truth, you know, because I had like almost 2,000 clients in the course of 14 years, was standing over the man, exposing the wondrous vulva and flaunting it and putting it in his face and letting him see it in all its glory and basically being very boastful. There's a story about the goddess Inanna. She spread her robes and she looked at her wondrous vulva and she applauded herself. And that is very much the attitude with which I approached escorting and being a courtesan. I applauded my genitals. I loved my body and I put on lingerie. The vast majority of men love lingerie. So that's also a real constant. There's a few guys out there who can't wait to get the lingerie off, and they're like, I would have some people who would actually say, please don't wear any lingerie, just come nude. But most of them, 99% of the men on that I ever dealt with, wanted garters, stockings, thigh highs, teddies, push-up bras, thongs, those sort of things. So as you were saying, men are visual creatures. It's just a wonderful opportunity to play dress-up just like you did when you were a little girl, only, you know, you get to be a lot raunchier about it. And the raunchier, the better. I think this is a hard place to go to because, you know, we're kind of taught to be self-effacing and not proud. But, you know, in the bedroom is a great place for a woman to be proud. Be proud of what you've got. Flaunt it. The more you flaunt it, the more gorgeous you're going to look and the more alluring you're going to be.
You know, I was just thinking about that, and I was wondering out loud to myself if a woman's thinking, well, gee, I'm a busy mom, and, you know, at the end of the day, I'm dead tired. But I'm just thinking maybe if she slipped into a naughty lingerie, that it might actually just change her mood completely and might kind of make her feel really good about herself in addition to the man feeling very turned on.
I'll tell you something, it worked for me. You know, I was married almost the entire time I was working as an escort. And my husband, a little older than me, absolutely loves stockings and garters. So I would just go slip on some stockings and garters and some lipstick and then mess up my hair, you know. That was it. I didn't bother with any other makeup except for the lipstick. I didn't try to set my hair or comb it out. I just messed it up, make it look like I've been in the bedroom with my hair, and put on some garters and stockings. It took all of 2 minutes, and I would just suddenly feel invigorated and sexy and gorgeous, and he loved it. So I think you're onto something there, Patty.
I have to say, I've done that myself. Sometimes when we've had either a fight or a down day or a blah day or, you know, nothing's going on, as they say, I'll go in and I'll get dressed up in one of my, you know, little outfits.
Yeah.
And the things I know that are going to turn him on, just with nothing particularly in mind, and within minutes he'll be just out of his mind and just all over me, just huffing and puffing and panting, and
hey,
it works.
I gotta tell you something, I'm bisexual, and my girlfriend was we were together for a year. She was a centerfold for a men's magazine, and she was also a beauty pageant winner in California. So she came back from a trip to Mexico one time with this little tight pink dress that just barely covered her butt. And, you know, I had already been there and done that 100 times, but when I saw that little pink thing on her, it was like brand new all over again.
So never underestimate how easy it is to turn someone on, okay?
Yeah, well, I guess it depends on how testosterone-driven they are, since I tend to run a little more testosterone than some women, and I'm very visually oriented for both men and women. I love to look at men. I love to look at women. So this is tip number two, by the way. The first one is really adore and love and flaunt yourself and your own body. But tip number two is to learn something about male culture, because if you're busy thinking that we're both from different planets, you know, men are from Mars and women from Venus, you won't even try to understand the other person's culture. And I like to think of it as that we're just from four different countries. We've basically, men and women grow up in different worlds because our peer groups are different, and we are definitely raised differently. From the crib, I mean, they've documented this, we raise boys and girls differently. So if you just think of it as a foreign country and take an interest in learning about the food and the music and the customs and the language, then you won't, you know, convince yourself that you can't learn it. So that's the way I treated my clients, and I learned about their sense of humor, and I came away with an understanding that, yes, men are, have a different culture than women, but it's not something that I can't learn. I did learn it. I was able to joke with them and meet them where they lived, and that was also really comforting for them. You know, they felt understood instead of under attack, and then they could be a little more comfortable about just relaxing and being who they are. Now, I also encourage men to learn about female culture, you know, so we can cross-fertilize each other's realities and learn from each other and become bigger and better and more whole people in the process. But since you're asking me about, you know, what it is that men want, a lot of times, you know, they want to be able to tell jokes without getting a wagging finger. They might like to talk dirty without feeling like, oh, I've offended her, and, you know, that was, should never cuss around a woman. You should never tell dirty jokes around a woman. That kind of separation sometimes takes the fun out of sex. So I was able to, you know, laugh at men's jokes and embrace their ribaldness, if you will, instead of creating more sexual shame for them. And that opens things up as well.
So everybody wants their day in the sun, including men, every now and then. So talking about the talking, would you ask a man questions about what he wanted? Like, how's this for you? How's that? I'm guessing if you're with someone new, there was probably a lot of dialogue.
No.
No?
No. I absolutely positively do not teach that in my workshops either.
Okay.
Teach workshops for couples, and I actually teach couples workshops where they get naked and have sex with each other, and I'm like your coach. I'm right down there with you. I have my clothes on, but I'm right down there talking in your ears and teaching you how to look for the subtle signs of arousal. And I'm all about paying attention to people's facial expressions and their breathing.
Uh-huh. You want to tell us about that?
Yes. So, you know, let's see. And again, this is something that comes with practice. It's going to be a little difficult to teach it over the phone here or on the radio. But I can give you a really good example. Recently, I was working with a couple who had just become acquainted with each other and started sleeping together, and they didn't know each other that well. And they were heavily invested in saying nice things to each other and pleasing each other with a lot of smiles and a lot of eye contact, which was making it difficult for them to communicate their desires and needs. So I just took them out of the verbal stuff, and I was coaching him on how to give her beautiful, wonderful cunnilingus. And he had a technique. He was so focused on technique, you know, I'm going to do my technique, that he wasn't looking for the feedback. So I slowed him down, and I would say, did you notice that she was holding her breath? Okay, and did you see she took a breath there? Okay, now when she breathed, when she took that breath, she also licked her lips. This tells you there is some sexual arousal going on there. And I go, okay, now can you see that she stopped breathing and her face has started to relax? So she's gone back to shallow breaths. They aren't deep breaths. It's not like she actually stopped completely breathing. But you get the point. It was like the breathing was less marked. So when he started cluing in, you know, onto, oh, okay, that's actually a sign of sexual arousal. When she tenses, and then when she starts to relax and she's not so tense and her breathing goes back to being shallow, she's lost a little bit of the edge. So how can I get her back to that sexual edge? Look for the breathing. Look for a tightening in around the facial area. Those kind of things can tell you that you're starting to build
up to the sexual plateau. And then, of course, you're going to want to take her past that plateau. But I think a lot of times people get so focused on technique that they're not paying attention to the feedback. And I personally, you know, some people love to talk about sex, and that's awesome. But my technique was always to discover what was going on with people by being a really, really observant partner and tapping into their energetic shifts. So if you start your connection off with a heart chakra hug and you breathe into your partner and you really create that connection where you can start feeling their energy, and then you look for visual cues, like, you know, are they starting to, is the hair starting to stand up, on end? Are they getting, like, goose flesh? Are their nipples becoming erect? Is the man producing a lot more pre-ejaculate than he was just previous to this? Are you starting to watch the rectum will start to contract when there's sexual arousal? These are all beautiful physical cues that you can look for that become your roadmap to ever heightening levels of arousal.
I think that is fabulous tips. I'm turned on completely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm
wow. I'm totally inspired. Where's a man? I want to go practice. Oh. Well, listen, we're going to take another short break to support our sponsors. This is Dr. Patty Taylor, and I'm with Veronica Monet, and we will be right back. You can learn more about Veronica at her websites, veronicamonet.com. That's veronicamonet.com. I want to say she has some amazing articles on her website. Just go there, and you can spend a day reading all kinds of interesting things. Also, sexwithoutshame.com. And you can even find Veronica Monet on YouTube. And it's very fun to go YouTube Veronica. So please stay with us. She's gorgeous and for real.
Listen to On the Minds of Men, Uncensored Sex Talk with Dr. Lori, a weekly audio program bringing the best in sex therapy to your life on personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and I'm Dr. Patty Taylor, and we are talking to Veronica Monet about secrets of a sex escort, what men really want. Well, I'll tell you, I think I know what men really want, and that's what Veronica just described, and maybe women want that too, so we're full of ideas at this point. Okay, well, let's just talk a little bit about couples. What would you do if you want to get it shifted, your relationship, if it's kind of in that stuck place and you're going, oh, we really want what you just described, and it's just not there. I mean, Veronica, is that the kind of work you do with couples, is to, like you just said?
It absolutely is. And one of the things, the first things that I will do in my workshops with couples, I have a workshop called The Garden Bursting with Life. And the first thing that I do is I start off with a discussion about relationship dynamics, you know, who makes the money, who pays the bills, who takes care of the kids, who, you know, just how do you divide household chores? And then questions about the bedroom. This becomes more difficult to get genuine answers about. So I actually learn more about couple dynamics when I ask them questions about the more mundane aspects of their lives, like paying bills and making money. This will tell me a lot about what's going on in their bedroom, because if I ask most couples, you know, who makes the first move, who initiates sex, they always try to tell me, oh, we both do. So, and it's not true. In 99% of the cases, it's just not true, and I know that because I'll watch them start to make love, and the fact of the matter is, it's oftentimes there is one partner who is being more initiatory, taking more of a lead. And there's a partner that's being a little more acquiescent. So as soon as I can identify who's got which role, I switch it around. Interesting.
Yeah, because I want them to experience themselves in a new realm and take them out of their comfort zone. And, you know, a lot of times what happens with our sex lives, we get stuck in ruts, and that's why we get bored. And so if you can change the dynamic, so the person who maybe is the one who initiates that first kiss or is the one who puts on the lingerie and entices the other one into the bedroom, whatever that is, if we can change that dynamic so that we've switched roles, it becomes really, really hot. And it's sometimes it's as simple as one couple I was working with. She was supposed to be initiating because their relationship was, you know, such that he was usually the one who initiated sex. So that was fine. She was going to initiate, but then he kept trying to touch her while she was initiating. And so I came over and just simply said, "I want you to not touch her. I want you to just be available for her touch." And that took them someplace amazing. It was just so exciting to watch. I love my work with these workshops when I'm working with couples. I loved working with couples when I was an escort. I love working with couples now as a sex educator and a sexologist. It's just amazing to see how something so simple like you don't touch, the other one's going to do all the touching, can open up whole new sexual vistas, even creating orgasms you've never experienced before.
Well, you have a phenomenal range of skills and a totally unique background. I can see why you'd be an amazing person to go to learn this stuff. Anyway, we're almost out of time. I would like to ask you one final question. What is one great joy you get from the work you do?
Oh, God. There's so many, but the one that's coming to mind right now is when I'm working with the couples and they've got emotional blocks. They're angry, resentful about something, and we actually spend like the first hour and a half working through the blocks to communication and the angers and the resentments. So, and that's all with your clothes on, you know. We're just talking and problem solving and learning how to do I feel statements where you don't indict your partner when you share your feelings and learning how to validate feelings without fixing them. So we spend like an hour and a half doing that. And then to work into the orgasmic stage, and by the end of the class, people have experienced orgasms they've never had, maybe female ejaculation that they've never done before, or something that they were blocked and couldn't get to for the last 6 months. And to have somebody say thank you so much, Veronica, while they're all sitting there in the afterglow, with, you know, flush from a beautiful orgasm, I love it.
Wow. What a great image. I can feel that shooting up through my old body right now.
Ooh! I know, man. My armpits are sweating, Pat. This conversation's been a hot one.
So thank you. Thank you so much for being the amazing bright light that you are. Thank you for being on our show and sharing all your thoughts, wisdom, and insight with us.
Thank you, Patty, and congratulations on the success of your show. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you so much. So this does bring us to the end of our show. Thank you all, listeners, for listening and joining in. Please send me email at patty@personallifemedia.com. For texts and transcripts of this show and other shows, please visit our website at personallifemedia.com. And also for links for Veronica Monet, you can just join our website and look at the Expanded Lovemaking Show. If you haven't already, please be sure to subscribe to the Expanded Lovemaking Show so you can get automatic updates as soon as they become available. And also, please visit me, Dr. Patty Taylor, at www.expandedlovemaking.com, where you can join my mailing list and find out more about my products, services, and events. This is your host, Dr. Patty Taylor. That's all for now. I remain yours in ever-expanded lovemaking, and I'll see you next week.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.